Good evening, everyone. Tonight we are starting a journey, one of the most exciting journeys in Tanakh. We will learn the book of Daniel, Be'ezrat Hashem. Our goal is to focus on the book of Daniel and then learn snippets of the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. And off of this backdrop, work our way into Megillat Esther. So that when we start learning Megillat Esther, we understand the context within which we are studying the Megillah. We are focusing on this for a number of reasons. Number one, most people never delve into this book. Most people never learn Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. Number two, the parashiyot we are up to are Teruma, Tetzaveh, and then we're going to have Kitisa, and then back to Vayakel and Pekudei. And these are parashiyot which focus on the building of the different vessels of the Mishkan, and most often guys don't have the patience to learn those details. So the details of how high was the Aron, how wide was the Aron, what did they make the cloths and the different layers of the ceiling in the Mishkan. Bottom line, most people can study that for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes max, and that's it. So we will shift and study primarily during the course of these weeks. We will study the books of Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. And within all that, we will learn Megillat Esther. After Purim, we will shift and focus our studies on the Haggadah. So it is recommended that you guys come with Hebrew, English, Daniel. It is recommended that you take notes, like always. It is recommended that you already start being on the lookout for Hebrew-English Haggadah, which you will be able to take your notes in and embellish for future years, Be'ezrat Hashem. We will begin. Let's review the timeline. We have creation, 10 generations Adam to Noah, 10 generations Noah to Avram. In the year 1948, Avram is born. In the year 2048, he has Yitzchak. In the year 2448, we leave Egypt. In the year 2488, we enter Israel. 7 years conquering Israel. 7 years dividing Israel. Yeshua passes away. We enter the period of the judges. After a little over two centuries during the period of the judges, we enter the period of the kings. And now we have Shaul, our first king, and then David. David is going to be king for 40 years, right? 7 years in Hebron, 33 years in Yerushalayim. After David, the son Shlomo is king, and then Shlomo has a son Rehavam, under whom the kingdom is divided. We have the northern 10 tribes under Yeravam ben Nevat, the southern tribes under Rehavam, the son of Shlomo. For the next two centuries, this will be the picture in the land of Israel. And then the northern 10 tribes will be exiled piecemeal, initially on the eastern side of the Jordan, and then the northern tribes, and then finally Sancheiriv comes down and exiles the remaining tribes and destroys all of Israel, and what's left is this little enclave called Jerusalem. Everyone manages to scramble into the city, and we have the great miracle at the gates of Jerusalem under the king Hezekiahu, where although the northern 10 tribes were exiled, the Assyrian Empire is defeated by a plague at the gates of Jerusalem, and Hezekiah reestablishes the kingdom of Judea for another century. So Hezekiah has a son, Menashe. Menashe is going to be so sinful that because of him, it will be sealed, that the land of Israel will be destroyed. Menashe murders his grandfather, Yeshaya the prophet. Right, Yeshaya the prophet gave his daughter to Hezekiah the king, and together they had children, one of which was Menashe. Menashe murders his grandfather, Yeshayahu, and Menashe brings a lot of destruction to the land of Israel, idol worship and murder, and then Menashe does tshuva at the end of his life. And then we have the involvement of the Judean Empire towards exile. We approach the last two, three decades before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. and our king is Jehoiakim. He's going to be king for 11 years. He is going to be transgressing. And here we have the ascent of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar came from the Assyrian Empire. He was one of the soldiers in the Assyrian Empire. And after the Assyrian Empire crumbled, Nebuchadnezzar took over the Assyrian Empire. So he developed the Babylonian Empire, which swallowed up the Assyrian Empire. And Nebuchadnezzar, in his first year, captures Nineveh, which is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And in the second year of his reign, he ascends on Jerusalem and conquers Jerusalem. So Nebuchadnezzar conquers Jerusalem, and he tells Jehoiakim, be a faithful servant to me, and I will let you remain as king of Jerusalem. So for 3 years that lasts, and then he rebels against him, and then he destroys him. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar comes back, and his son Jehoiachin takes the throne. Nebuchadnezzar appoints him as king, goes back to Babylon. His officers tell him, bad move. If the father wasn't good to you, the son won't be good to you. If you have a bad dog, you can't assume he's going to give birth to a good pup. And he comes back to Jerusalem and takes Jehoiachin and says, never mind, you're not king, and takes him in shackles out to Babylon. And the new king, Jehoiachin. Now, at this point, Nebuchadnezzar is fed up. He's allowed the Jews to stay in Israel. Everything should have gone well, right? And they rebelled against him. For 3 years it was good, and then they led a 3-year rebellion. So Nebuchadnezzar is fed up. So Nebuchadnezzar decides the way to ensure that Jerusalem won't rebel again is to deplete Jerusalem of its leadership. So Nebuchadnezzar takes all the leaders of the army, all the generals, all the wise men, whatever leaders he could find in Jerusalem, and he exiles them. 10,000 men, and what he leaves in Jerusalem are the impoverished people. So you have in Jerusalem a situation where you don't have the ability to really mobilize an army against Nebuchadnezzar. And this is called our first exile. The exile of Jehoiachin, who is also known as Jechoniah. One of the people that's exiled at this time is Mordechai. He's exiling all the leaders. So he exiles a man named Mordechai. We know Mordechai. He's going to be our great hero in the story of Esther. So Mordechai, we're dealing with 11 years prior to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Mordechai is led into exile with the 10,000 leaders of Israel. And that's what's called the exile of Jechoniah or Jehoiachin. He has two names. And that is the exile where the king Jehoiachin was exiled with the leadership. And they are brought into Babylon, and there they establish a community. So what happens there is that the rabbis and the leaders of Israel establish the Babylonian community long before the people are exiled. So that 11 years later, when the people of Israel will be exiled and the Beit HaMikdash will be destroyed, they come into Babylon, which is already established as a Jewish place by the leaders who were exiled a decade earlier. So Nebuchadnezzar takes the uncle, Mataniah, and he tells him, I'm appointing you king, and swear to me by Hashem that you won't rebel against me. And he changes his name to Tzidkiyahu, which means Hashem should demand righteousness from you. You will be just to me. I'm leaving you as king. Do not rebel. And Tzidkiyahu is going to be king in Jerusalem for 11 years. But Tzidkiyahu is sinful, and Hashem wants to cause the downfall of Jerusalem. And so Tzidkiyahu has a bad idea. Now, Nebuchadnezzar trusts Tzidkiyahu, and he appoints Tzidkiyahu in charge of all the kingdoms around him. Ammon and Moab, all our neighbors are under Tzidkiyahu. Nebuchadnezzar trusts him, and they want to bring down Tzidkiyahu's downfall. They don't like the fact that Tzidkiyahu is in charge. So what's happening now is Tzidkiyahu is basically in charge of the Middle East from the Euphrates all the way down to Egypt. Tzidkiyahu is in charge. And when he sits down for meals with these kings of Ammon and Moab, all our wonderful neighbors, the other kings keep talking bad about Nebuchadnezzar. And they're waiting, they're trying to trip up Tzidkiyahu. He should say something negative against the king. Then they'll go back and report it to the king. Now one time, Tzidkiyahu had walked into the room where Nebuchadnezzar was sitting. And Nebuchadnezzar had given Tzidkiyahu so much trust that Tzidkiyahu could walk into Nebuchadnezzar unannounced. And one day he walks in and he finds Nebuchadnezzar holding a rabbit and eating it alive, picking off its ear and eating it, and enjoying the suffering of this rabbit as he's eating it alive. And Nebuchadnezzar makes him promise, don't tell anyone. He's embarrassed that he gets such a sadistic pleasure from sitting there and eating a rabbit alive. So Tzidkiyahu swears he won't tell. And then Tzidkiyahu goes to the rabbis and he annuls his vow, and he figures as part of revealing, getting everyone tells him, let's get together, let's rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. And finally they convince him and he tells them, you know what a terrible person Nebuchadnezzar is. He reveals the story. And they quickly go back and report to Nebuchadnezzar, you know what Tzidkiyahu said about you. Now Nebuchadnezzar knows it's true. How did they find out? So he knows it's true that Tzidkiyahu gave away his secret. And so Nebuchadnezzar comes and he attacks Jerusalem. And Tzidkiyahu has no way to stand up to Nebuchadnezzar's forces. There's a siege. The great walls of Jerusalem that afford protection also create a tremendous siege on Jerusalem. And as we know, Nebuchadnezzar brings down the walls of Jerusalem and destroys the Beit HaMikdash and rapes Tzidkiyahu and slaughters his children opposite his eyes and then gorges out his eyes and leads him naked to Babylon. And with that, we have the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. And that is basically the end of the book of Kings, of Melachim. Now we come to the book of Daniel. And so, now that we have the backdrop to the scene, we know what happened leading up to the destruction, we can start the book of Daniel. Now, the book of Daniel is in writings, it's in Ketuvim, and that means it was written by Daniel. It was written by Daniel, but it was not written out of prophetic vision. It was written out of Ruach HaKodesh, a lower level of heavenly inspiration. And so we begin the book of Daniel. I will read and translate with the tune. Bishnat Shalosh Lemalchut Yoyakim Melech Yehuda. Remember, Yoyakim was the first king. He was the first one that Nebuchadnezzar attacked. It was in the third year, whatever that means. So Nebuchadnezzar is going to attack. It means 3 years after Yoyakim had rebelled against him. Ba Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Yerushalayim Vayatzar Aleha. Nebuchadnezzar came and lay siege on Jerusalem. Vayitein Adonai Biyado Et Yoyakim Melech Yehuda. God gave Yoyakim into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Umitzat Kilei Beit Elohim Vayvihem El Tshinahu Beit Elohav. And Nebuchadnezzar captured the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash, and he brought them into Babylon, and he put them in his church in front of his idols, and he made this declaration. You see, his idols, he believed, conquered God. And so he brought the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash and placed them in front of his idol. Then he brought them to the treasuries of his idol. And then Nebuchadnezzar said to his chief eunuch, Ashpenaz, Lavi mi b'nei Yisrael u'mizera u'melucha min apartamim. He says, go to the Jews. Those Jews that we just exiled. Remember, we said they exiled the leadership right now. So he says, go to the leaders. Go to the wise men of the Jews, the nobles. I want you to bring me from there Yeladim asher in bahem kol mum, kids who have no blemish, v'tovei mareh, good looking kids, umaskilim v'chol chokhmah, kids who can study every type of wisdom. Kids who understand, kids who can learn, kids who will be able to grasp. They should be mature enough that they could be in the castle and they won't be too childish, that they won't be able to stand the seriousness of a castle. Educate them. Teach them to read. Teach them our books. Teach them our language. I want Jewish children educated in my palace. The Jews are smart. We will build up some Jewish children from this exile. They will be my advisors. And so that's what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. He's summoning Jewish children from the leadership. Yes?
Are they technically enslaved?
When there's a king as powerful as Nebuchadnezzar, everyone, all of his subjects are like his slaves.
I meant, are they technically his students or his slaves that are his...
Doesn't seem like they were enslaved.
To be his advisor.
Doesn't seem like they were enslaved.
And also, did the Judean military have like a specific type of uniform?
I don't know about it. I assume they did, but I don't know.
King David went about, it's not
I don't know.
Army.
I don't know. I don't know. And the king arranges in advance. I want to know that every day, this is what they get to eat. Make sure to give them from the royal food. Make sure to give them from the royal wines. For 3 years, we will raise them in the king's palace. At the end of 3 years, I want them to come before me and I will interview them. Amongst them, from the descendants of Judea, there were the following four children: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. One was called God will judge you. One was called God will give you mercy. One was called Ask Hashem. And the final one was called God will help you. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah.
God will judge you. That's what Daniel means?
Correct.
God will help you?
Judge you. Dan means to judge. My judge is Hashem, or the one who will judge is Hashem. Daniel, Hananiah, the one who gives mercy is Hashem.
Does this have anything to do with the history?
Seems that way. And so the chief eunuch changed their names. He changed Daniel's name and he made it Belshazzar. The word Baal is the Babylonian idol. They believed in a god they called Baal. And Chatzar means wisdom. So he named him, your wisdom comes from their idol, Baal. Just 1 second, I lost the place here. Here we go. Okay, just a second. I can't read this print. I'm getting a different print. 1 second. It's too small. So, the name Daniel, which means my judge is God, he changed to Belshazzar, the idol of Babylon, Baal. He is Tash Atzar. He's the one who protects the storage, the wealth of Babylon. Tash Atzar. I remember a commentary that says that Chatzar means wisdom, but I'm not finding it right now. But Belshazzar means his wisdom comes from Baal, but I'm not finding which commentary says that. Rashi says that. Okay, why didn't I see that before? Rashi says that. Okay, and he changed the name of Hananiah, which means Hashem is the one who gives mercy. He changed his name to Shadrach, which means he is pampered by his mother's bosom. Shadrach. And Mishael, which it means his soul requests are from Hashem, he changed his name to Meshach.
Where did he get soul from?
Mishael. Mishael means his requests are from Kel, from Hashem. Misha, like She'elato, is Mikel, from Hashem. He changed his name to Meishach, one who attracts, and Azariah, Meishach could mean he comforts, or Meishach could mean he attracts wisdom, and he changed Azariah. Azariah, that his name means Hashem is my assistance. He changed his name to Aved Nego, the worshipper of the idol Nevo of Babylon. So that's how he changed their names. Vayas and Daniel alibo. Daniel decided. He reads Shema every day, and when he read Shema, he decided, Asher lo yitgal b'fat bagamelech uviyein mishtav. He doesn't want to dirty himself with the food and drink of the king. He saw it from a spiritual perspective. It was the best steaks, it was the best meats, the best food, the best wines. And Daniel was disgusted by it. He said, why should I dirty my soul with this? He asks the one in charge, please, I don't want to get dirty with this food. Now, why does our story start with this? Why does the story of Daniel, which will tell us about the four kingdoms, that when you evolve in the book of Daniel, you learn about the great prophetic visions of when Mashiach is going to come and what will happen till the end of time. And then you look at the first chapter and you say, oh, the story begins with when he was a kid. And when he was a kid, he didn't want to eat the food and drink that wasn't 100% kosher. Or wasn't kosher at all. I mean, the meat wasn't kosher at all, right? Food for thought, excuse the pun. Pasuk tet, vayiten Elohim et Daniel lechesed ulrachamim lifnei sar hasarisim. So Hashem caused Daniel to find favor in the eyes of the head eunuch. Vayomer sar hasarisim leDaniel. So he says to Daniel, Yare ani et Adoni haMelech. I'm scared of my master, the king. Asher mina et machalchem veet mishtechem. The king gave exact orders what I'm supposed to give you to eat and drink. I'm scared that he will see that you guys are emaciated. You won't look as healthy as the other children who are your age. And then the king will have my head, because he'll say, I'm not taking good care of you, I'm not feeding you well. So Daniel spoke to the waiter. He left the chief eunuch, he spoke to the waiter. Asher mina sar hasarisim al Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. He says, okay, I'm not going to ask the boss, I'll ask the worker. Nasnat avadecha yamim asara. He says, buddy, let's do an experiment here for 10 days. It's Rosh Hashanah now. Let's do an experiment from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, corresponding to the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. So he says, our forefathers stood up. They had 10 tests in the desert. They didn't stand up to that. Let us stand up to this test. Give us 10 days now. Ve'yitnu lanu min hazeroim v'nochela u'mayim nishteh. Give us lentils, give us shulint, give us different beans, legumes, and you'll see that we will be just as healthy as the other kids. So today we know that you eat legumes, you can make up for a lot of the protein and a lot of the key components in eating meat. They say if you don't eat meat, make sure to eat this stuff. But the truth is, there was another idea here. Daniel knew that in the king's palace, good-looking boys were raped, and Daniel wanted to have bad breath. And Daniel said, if we constantly eat these foods, then we won't be as attractive. And so that's why that was another plan that Daniel was doing here for him and his friends. He says, test us out, and you'll see what we look like. And then you'll see us, you'll see, and then you'll decide. He listened to them. He gave them a 10-day trial. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthy. They looked even better than all the kids who ate the king's foods. And so the waiter took for himself all their meats and wines, and he gave them the beans. Now, some people have a custom on Purim to eat beans to commemorate Daniel and his friends. This custom is recorded in the early commentaries and the Rishonim. It's recorded in Halach. I've never seen anyone do this, but it does record it. It's quoted as a custom. What? I don't know of anyone who does. In the books it says people do. I've never seen anyone do it. Yeah.
How do you know that these 10 days are between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur?
Rav Sadia Gaon told us. I don't know. So the waiter was taking their meat and wine and gave them beans. And then these four children, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Natan lahem Elohim, Mada ve'askel bechol sefer. They were so sharp. They really knew all the books, v'chokhmah, and all the wisdoms. V'Daniel levin bechol chazon v'chalomot. So they knew. They studied every language. They knew how to read and write and interpret, and they studied all the wisdoms that the Babylonians were teaching. And Daniel was especially skilled at understanding dreams and visions. At the end of the period, the king had said, after 3 years they will be summoned. So the chief eunuch brought them in front of Nebuchadnezzar. So the king interviewed them. He couldn't find any of the kids that were as good as Kidaniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Vazariah, Vayamdu, Lifnei HaMelech. So the king appoints these four as his top advisors. So any type of wisdom or understanding, Asher Bikesh Mehem HaMelech, anything the king needed, Vayimtzaim, he found them to be Eser Yadot, 10 times as good as Al Kol HaChartumim HaShafim, better than all his different sorcerers. The Chartumim were those who would drill a hole in a tree and stick their witchcraft or their sorcery in that hole, and then they'd close up the hole and listen, and then they'd hear a voice, or whatever their sorcery did would give them back an answer, what the question that was asked. So that's why they were called Chartumim, from the word chor, to make a hole, atum, that was closed up. So that's the Chartumim. Sometimes it says Chartumim, not Chortumim. And those are the people that they go to the Chor, to the opening of Timei Metim, to the bones of the dead. They ask questions there. And he found them better than his Ashafim. Ashafim are those that try to figure out the astrology. Asher bechol malchuto, better than all the astrologers in his kingdom. Vayhi Daniel. Daniel was an advisor to the king. Ad shnat achat lechoresh hamelech, to the first year of Koresh. Which Koresh is this? We will have to see. Because we will see that he will be king in the third year of Koresh later on. So we have to say this is the first year of a later Koresh. There were a number of kings called Koresh. Daniel will remain at the helm until the first year of a Koresh. We don't know which Koresh. We're going to leave that hanging for now. But this is really an encompassing verse that's supposed to encompass the whole book. Meaning Daniel is in leadership until the first year of a Koresh. Now, we will meet Daniel in the book of Esther. According to one opinion, Esther's trusted man, Hatach, is Daniel. right? The messenger who goes back and forth between Esther and Mordechai, called Hatach. Our tradition is that is Daniel. According to one midrash, he is murdered by Haman. Haman sees him bringing messages back and forth from Esther to Mordechai, so Haman murders him, and that is where Daniel dies. Why is Daniel called Hatach? According to one opinion in the Midrash, because Hatach comes from the word Chatach. He could cut. Whatever he said, the king would listen to him. So any time the king wanted to make a decree, Daniel had a say in it. That's why he was called Hatach. The second opinion says he was called Hatach because Chatach, he was cut down. He used to be a great man in the kingdom. But by the days of Achashverosh, he didn't count anymore. He was lowered. He was a servant to the queen. Why? We'll see the story. Let's follow the story. We'll see. So we're not clear on exactly how Daniel's life plays out. And part of the question is, what did this verse just tell us? When it says Daniel was king till the first year of Koresh. Daniel was in his position till the first year of Koresh. Which Koresh is that? We'll explore that as we move on.